brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Benyart, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Mel Gibson has just filmed a new movie, The Passion, about Jesus Christ. And I'm eager to see the movie. Mel was on the O'Reilly O'Reilly Factor yesterday, and he talked about, he said that whenever you take up a subject like this, it brings out a lot of enemies, he said. And of course, that's true. And so Gibson said that a well-known, a reputable publication, which he didn't name, has been doing research trying to dig up dirt on Mel Gibson. And he said they've been looking into his private life, his banking records, the charities that he supports, interviewing friends, business associates, family members. They've all undergone scrutiny. And he said, I'm a big boy. I can take care of myself. But when you start messing around with my 85-year-old father, watch out. All right, Mel. That movie, The Patriot, that was such a great movie. And do we have that movie on DVD? We don't have that movie, right? But even if we did, I don't think I could watch it again. It was too painful. Fabulous movie. I just loved it. In fact, we brought, 15 people or so to watch that in the theaters when it first came out? We had a great time. Ken and Joe Scott, my boys, our friends. I think Jason Troyer was there. We had such a great time watching the movie. It's just a real patriotic, you know, and a pro-death penalty, pro-America, just a neat, neat movie. And who was it? Donahue had a guest on his show the other day. And the guest was a conservative, opposed to Donahue's grotesque liberalism. And the guest pointed out to ask Donahue a question. He said, "Are you proud to be an American?" to Donahue. And Donahue skirted the issue, and the guest didn't follow up. He didn't ask for an answer. And I just wanted to reach onto the TV and grab the guest by the shoulders and shake him and say, "Follow up, you wimp. Ask the question. There's your opportunity. You got the chance. Now take it." And Donahue, he got away with not answering. But the neat thing about The Patriot is it shows the consequence of not getting involved. When you think you could not get involved and just ignore the problems in the world around you, and then they come home to roost. You can't get away. When society is falling apart, you can't just ignore it and think that you're going to avoid the consequences of the world around you going to hell. Because, no man's an island, and your kids, your grandkids, your family, your friends, your business, it's your church is going to be affected. So anyway, now Mel Gibson has got this movie out, The Passion, and he says that some publication has been researching a story on trying to dig up dirt on him. And he told O'Reilly, Mel Gibson said, "This is a movie about love, faith, hope, and forgiveness." And Gibson, referring to Jesus, said, "He died for all mankind. Jesus suffered for all of us. It's time to get back to that basic message. The world has gone nuts. We could all use a little more love, faith, hope, and forgiveness." We've long said that Mel Gibson is the most conservative of the major Hollywood stars. And boy, I sure hope he's a Christian, because it'll be fun to hang out with him in heaven. Wouldn't that be fun? Hang out, have Mel Gibson over for dinner. And the neat thing about heaven is, what's the number one thing in all of existence? What is the number one most important thing? The number one most important thing is relationships. Relationships. God, first off with God. But even for God, relationships are the most important for him. What did God do for all eternity past before he created Adam and Eve and the angels, Michael the archangel and Gabriel? What did he do? Well, God exists in a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And for eternity past before creation, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were able to fellowship with one another. And there's nothing as exciting, as interesting, as compelling as relationships. So when we get to heaven, we'll have the time we need to really get to know one another. It's going to be fun. It's going to be great. Mel Gibson's not a Mormon. Somebody just IM'd me, instant messaged me on the internet at kgovlive@aol.com. Said Mel Gibson is a Mormon, I think. Mel Gibson's not a Mormon. I mean, I don't know. I know very little about Mel Gibson. But he's not a Mormon. All right, let's see. What else here? So that's an interesting story. Then we have RU486. That's the abortion pill. RU486ing people. Speaking of Mel Gibson. RU486ing people. What does it mean to 86 someone? It means to kill them. So are you 486ing people? Are you 486ing babies? Well, according to the Alan Guttmacher Institute, he used to be the president of Planned Parenthood, and now he started his own basically abortion, feminist, sexual immorality research group, the Alan Guttmacher Institute. And according to their study, the first of its kind, that abortionists are using RU486 to perform about 6% of all abortions. Oh, no. Somebody instant messaged me and said, Gibson is a Raelian. He's not a Raelian. That's just a, that Raelians, are they wackos or what? They are. And their leader is a mental case. It shows you how stupid people are, willfully ignorant. Willfully ignorant. Yeah, Rael, His Holiness, said he was abducted by UFOs, had the obligatory cavity exams and all, and he got to their planet, and he saw Jesus there, and Moses, and Buddha. And, you know, the Raelians, it's a UFO sex group. That's what it is, basically. All right. So anyway, he's not a Raelian. We'll be right back. Listener-supported radio right here, Bob and Yurt Live. Listener-supported radio. We are on the air thanks to those of you in the audience who appreciate the show and either want to make a pledge regularly, occasionally, or purchase our materials. And we've been talking about in Denver, we needed 20 people to pledge $100 a month to stay on the air. And we ended up getting 13, which we're pretty thrilled with 13. And two of those people paid their pledge in advance for the year. And a third gave a separate check to help us stay on for January and February. So that, hopefully, that should bring us through February. But we'd like to stay on long term. And so we could use 7 more people in the Denver area. And in Indianapolis, we thought, wouldn't it be great if in each city we're in, we had our airtime covered with a base of support so that we could focus our efforts on growing, reaching more people, more cities. And we've grown. We were on 5 cities a few months ago. Now we're in 8 cities. We're thrilled, absolutely thrilled. And it's thanks to those of you out there in the audience. If you can help out and pledge, please call us 1-800-836-9278. That's 1-800-8-NYART. Same number. Mel is a Jehovah's Witness. He's not a Jehovah's Witness. Oh, brother. We're going to get every cult ever conceived email to me here. Anyway, our phone number, 1-800-836-9278. Please, if you can pledge, you might want to order the plot manuscript, the overview of the whole Bible. Just give us a call. Mel Gibson is not a Jehovah's Witness. I think he's a Catholic. That's what I think. Eight and climbing. What does that mean? Eight and climbing. Oh, eight and climbing. Oh, that's how many cities we're on in. Okay, I understand. Sometimes the instant messages, they hit and they're a response to a phrase 20 seconds ago or 2 minutes ago, and you got to, what in the world does that mean? Oh, yeah, eight cities and climbing. Praise the Lord. All right, so we could really use your help. If you're out there and you enjoy the show and you're supporting us, thank you very much. If you haven't purchased anything yet or you're wondering, call and order Bible material, check it out, and then decide further. So according to the Alan Guttmacher Institute, 37,000 abortions were performed in America in the first 6 months of 2001. 37,000. That was through June of 2001. Of course, September 2001, 3,000 people were killed on the 11th of that month. 9/11, that was 3,000 in one day. This 37,000 in the first 6 months, but that's only 6% of all the abortions. So the number of children that are killed in this country with our government supporting and even the pro-lifers in our government pretty much doing nothing other than looking the other way, that's the great tragedy far beyond the terrorism that the world is experiencing right now, that the killing of our own children with the blessing of our government and even with the conservative pro-life politicians, it's not with their blessing, but it's with them looking the other way. All right, let's go to Iraq. We'll go to Baghdad. Now we're only going to Cleveland, Ohio. Brian, speak your mind.
Yes, I was just calling because I only listen infrequently because I can only do it when I'm traveling through Indiana.
All right.
But I wanted to find out an opinion on what I'm sure you've talked about before, but, I mean, does your church or your beliefs support a war with Iraq?
Okay, well, yeah, we've been strongly advocating that America go into Iraq and destroy Saddam Hussein, kill him, and destroy his government. His regime, which is the death penalty, is the only appropriate punishment for terrorists and for state-sponsored terrorism, then you need to destroy the state that sponsors it, the government. So, yeah, we do advocate killing Saddam because of his state-sponsored terrorism that comes out of Iraq.
Do we feel that? I mean, I'm kind of wishy-washy, as I usually am when I call you. But do we feel like we're needing a little bit more evidence or any kind of support from the UN? I mean, I'm kind of believing that we do, but I also feel
well,
that
what
the man
evidence,
has gassed 5,000 of his own people.
Well, let me ask you a question. If is it right for us in our war on terror, should we be going after states that sponsor terrorism?
I believe that we should. I don't even question that.
Okay, good. So then the question is, does Saddam Hussein sponsor terrorism? Does he support terrorism?
Well, that's a question that I believe he has, for sure. I believe he certainly enjoys whatever happens to us. And I'm not sure that we've supported any evidence for the current situation.
Well, the question is, is there state-sponsored terrorism coming out of Iraq? Has there been and is there now?
Well, there certainly has been. I mean, I don't deny that if you just look at his actions since he's been in power.
Well, yeah, and I'll give you a few examples. This past year, less than a year ago, March 13th of last year, Saddam Hussein doubled the money that he was giving to suicide bombers, to their families. And in, let's see, and he said that if America attacked Iraq, he would double it again. And so that's direct state support of terrorism. That's state-sponsored terrorism. You've got terrorist bombers, suicide bombers, terrorists, and Saddam has been funding that effort for some years now, openly, publicly. He gives now, I think, about $15,000 to each family when one of their family members kills Israelis in a suicide bombing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's state-sponsored terrorism. Saddam has, he invited Abu Nidal. You've heard of the terrorist group Abu Nidal?
Absolutely. I'm a studies of Middle East.
All right. And so they're terrorists, right?
Yes, certainly.
They've killed or injured about 900 people, bombings at airports in Paris and Rome, and all kinds of crimes they've committed. And December 1998, he allowed them to move into Baghdad, and our CIA, in their annual report from a couple years ago, said that Saddam Hussein has been supplying safe haven training, logistic assistance, and financial aid to Abu Nidal, including allowing their leader to relocate to Baghdad. So that's state-sponsored terrorism.
I would agree. Unfortunately, it's all tied into the whole other cause, which they're trying to mix up with, you know, the Palestinian cause, the terrorist cause with Osama bin Laden, and all the Muslims around the world are happy to mix the two together.
Yeah, but so what? A terrorist is a terrorist. If somebody is a terrorist against the World Trade Center or against Israel, they're murderers, and they're trying to affect world politics so that things will be decided based on fear of the innocent being targeted and slaughtered. And so in our war against terror, Saddam Hussein is responsible for state-sponsored terrorism, and therefore we should kill him.
Well, Christian, I'm going to sound like a real liberal wimp, which you just hate, but why don't we just say to hell with everybody, pull our troops out of North Korea, pull our troops out of wherever everybody that hates us around the world, because most of them do, and live our own lives, run our own world, and be happy little Americans. Instead of, and part of this is, and you're going to hate this, but we are at least responsible for some of the animosity, certainly none of the terrorism. I don't even want to excuse that or associate the two. But
all right. Okay.
People hate us for a reason.
Well, you just said earlier that you agreed. It goes without saying that we need to go after state-sponsored terrorists.
I do, because it went too far with the attack on the World Trade
Center. So you said we need to go after state-sponsored terrorism, and are you a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways, and now you're not sure of that?
I'm sure that we have to respond to that attack. What I'm saying, though, that it could go on forever. So, at some point, maybe we should take another look and say to hell with everybody.
Okay, so when you said that we should go after state-sponsored terrorism, you said that was without question. You didn't really mean that.
No, I did, because what we did in Afghanistan, I'm so proud of what we did, and
well,
I think
okay,
it's so
there,
impressive.
There is state-sponsored terrorism going on from Iraq. So
I wonder if all of your listeners are 100% convinced of that, or for maybe it's just a little revenge.
The examples I just gave are, you could read them in the headlines.
No, I'm fully aware
none of those things are in dispute.
No,
I mean,
but I would like to see him tied to Osama bin Laden more than tied to the Palestinian terrorists.
Well, didn't Saddam try to kill a former U.S. president in 1993?
Absolutely, in Iraq in 1993 or something to that effect.
What? Say again? I didn't hear that.
Yes, he tried to kill President Bush in Kuwait.
In 1993?
I think it was 93, yes.
Okay, so that doesn't have anything to do with the Palestinian cause. And if it did, Israel, they're our friends. And so why equivocate? What's your goal for equivocating? What do they have? What does a state-sponsored terrorist program have to do, especially in this day and age, for you to have the courage to say we're at war against terrorists in the countries?
Well, I think they need to harbor Osama bin Laden and his terrorist group, and I support
100%
what we did in Iraq, and I also feel we should probably go into Pakistan because they're more of a danger to us than I sometimes think Iraq is, even though Pakistan
I don't believe you, Brian. I don't believe you. You're just saying that because we're not going into Pakistan. If we were, you'd say, oh, I don't know. I think maybe we should go into Iraq. And if we
I don't know about that. I've been thinking we're tripping on the wrong foot here when we're ignoring Pakistan.
I think I'm sizing you up better than you're sizing you up.
Oh,
but you did say that you equivocate when you first called, and you really do. Saddam Hussein is a murderer. He's got, 23 million people enslaved? Don't you have a concern for Iraqis the way I expressed concern for the people who live in Afghanistan? They were all prisoners. And so we liberated those people, and there are over 20 million Iraqis that can be liberated. Not that we have the wisdom to give them a good government, but when you live under a murderous terrorist tyrant, you'd like a chance for a new start.
I don't know what's going to happen when we overtake Iraq, which if we start, obviously it'll be over in just a short while.
We didn't know what would happen when we overtook Afghanistan or when we overtook Japan or when we overtook Germany. We didn't know what would happen when we overtook Italy. You got to be a man and say, we're at war, and you could say, when will it end? What if the World War II generation said that? If we attack Japan back, they'll be even more angry at us, and they're willing, kamikaze pilots, they're willing to die to kill us.
I don't think anybody should have a chance at us. I think we, as a matter of fact, had our guard down a little bit. We were a little overconfident in their inability, I should say. And I think we did exactly the right thing, and I think we should keep fighting right like we're doing, and even more so, and demand more out of our, quote, allies, which I really only count as...
But you're not, Brian. You're equivocating. So give me the reason.
I'm afraid. When you hear that word afraid,
Brian,
that we may be upsetting more than we plan on doing, because all the other countries around that
area... So would you have been afraid in the 1940s to attack the empire in Japan? Or the Third Reich.
I'm sure I would have been afraid, but I also know we would have done it and had to have done it.
Well,
I'm
maybe
very
not.
Proud of what
if
we
you,
did in World
no,
War II.
No, Brian, because there were leaders who refused to attack Hitler, and they wanted to appease, and they wanted to look the other way, and can't we just all get along?
So sure, I know the leader of Great Britain did that.
If you were in charge back then, you would have probably advocated appeasement of Hitler and just look the other. You would have. That's who you are.
I think it's a little different than that.
Well,
I think I would like to have a little bit more of a smoking gun, not just a plastic toy in the toy shop, to say that we have a right to go after them for our terrorist cause. Otherwise, we don't have that much to say about, as much to say about him supporting the Palestinians.
Okay, let's do this again right now. Is Iraq guilty of state-sponsored terrorism?
Well, yes.
All right.
Because they even killed and gassed their own people. So as far as I'm concerned, they're guilty of that. Are we responsible to take care of that particular issue?
No, we're not responsible to police the world. But when something is just and we see it as in our best interest, we can pursue it. And since we're in the middle of a war against state-sponsored terrorism, since Saddam would give any weapons that he had to terrorist groups if they promised to use them against us, since he tried to kill one of our presidents, yeah, we could kill him. One 800-836-9278. We've got here, let's see, no postage necessary if mailed in the United States. Have you ever seen these reply letters? You get them in junk mail. No postage necessary. Now, this is a commercial break, but I thought this would be a good time. I usually don't get time to go through the mail. So this is just a piece of junk. So I could open it up, and I can mail something back to them for free. I don't have to put a stamp on it. How much is a stamp these days? $37? Cost a fortune to mail something. So I got a free envelope and a free stamp. So I'm going to stick a pamphlet in here, one of our Bob and Yurt Live pamphlets, because they're the most, they just are, tend to be startling. And some clerk, this is United Financial Affiliates, Inc. Now, who in the world is that? I have no idea. Probably a freak, already approved credit card or something. So I'm going to email them one of our pamphlets, and I have to decide which one. And some bored clerk, bored out of her mind, sits at a desk and opens these things all day long. It has to look at the application, see if they filled out all the questions, and then put it in a box, in a file. So now she's going to open this one, and she's going to get a bright pink pamphlet that says "Coming Out of the Closet" by Bob Enyart. And it's got a picture of a closet door on the cover, and it says, "I came out of the closet in 1989. I feared my family and friends might reject me for coming out. Most of them, though, are supportive. I explained to them that I was born this way. I am homo," and then there's a hyphen. And you got to turn the page. And they turn the page. Phobic, huh? And they look back. "I am homophobic." And they'll undoubtedly get a bit of a chuckle out of that. Or angry. Doesn't matter which one. They're both effective. And then the clerk, bored out of her mind, probably, what's the chances that she's not going to read the whole thing? There's less than a 1% chance she's not going to read this pamphlet. I'll tell you that. We call these anti-junk mail missiles. When you get some junk mail with a no postage necessary return envelope, you just take one of the articles you get from Bob and Yurt Live, stuff it in there. You ever heard about those envelope stuffing jobs? Stuff one in and send it back. Anti-junk mail missiles. All right, so 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Let's finish up with Cleveland here. So, Brian, the last comment I made to you?
Yes.
Yeah, Saddam, if he had chemical, biological, or nuclear weapons, would he give them to Al-Qaeda in return for nothing other than a promise to use it against us?
See, you're trying to trick me because I don't know that, but my belief.
Well,
is
I'm asking.
Would.
What do you
probably
mean?
Would.
I'm asking you your opinion. Do you
okay,
think
my
I'm?
Opinion
no,
is
hey, Brian.
Would.
Brian, do you think I'm asking you if you have a two-way transmitter inside Saddam Hussein's head, and if you know for a fact every thought?
No, I don't.
I'm not
I
asking you that, right?
There.
I'm asking you based on your knowledge, your ability to reason, your understanding of the world and current events. If Saddam Hussein had weapons that terrorists could use to kill a lot of people, and he had the opportunity, would he let Al-Qaeda use them against us?
Yes.
Right. Okay. And he tried to kill a former U.S. president. He pays money on a regular basis to terrorist bombers. He provided a safe haven, a headquarters for Abu Nidal. Did they ever try to attack Americans, Abu Nidal?
Yes, they did. As a matter of fact, they even took some guy on the Achilles Laurel, I think.
That's another group.
Okay.
But
well, I'm not the perfect, but...
Yeah, Abu Nidal, they hijacked Pan Am Flight 73 in Karachi in 1986. They attempted to bomb our American embassy in Cairo, and they're more than happy to kill Americans. And so Saddam Hussein is one of our enemies. He's tried to build nuclear weapons. He'll try until his dying day, and he would share them with terrorists if he could. And he tried to kill George Bush Sr. after he was out of office. And he's a murderer. He's a state-sponsored terrorism flows from his country. He provides a base for terrorists. And you're equivocating. Hey, with you in charge, Brian, the terrorists have nothing to fear.
Yeah, I want you to know that as of second I heard that we bombed Iraq and the whole big thing started,
yeah,
I was the only one in my house that cheered. My brother was scared. What are we getting into? I cheered because I knew no matter what, at least we were doing the right thing at that time.
You mean in the Gulf War?
Pardon
me? You mean in the Gulf War 10 years ago?
No. I'm talking about when we invaded Afghanistan. Oh,
Afghanistan.
The Taliban.
Okay, Afghanistan.
I cheered the Gulf War,
good.
Too.
That was good. Congratulations. That was good. And I'm glad you saw that was right. But
I did. I just would like to have a little more than Great Britain and America being the only ones that really believe. I would like to just show the world. That's all I really care about.
Well, that's the difference between a leader and somebody who wants to go along with the crowd.
Well, that's why I'm just, you know, not exactly the president or elected official.
Well, you don't need to be the president, but if you express your ideas about important public policy, we're responsible for the ideas we express. And for those in the past who wanted to go easy, soft on terrorists and states that sponsor terrorism, and they express those ideas publicly, they're partly responsible for the murders terrorists commit.
Okay, let me just throw one more thing. I know you don't want to spend the whole time.
All right.
Just be briefly.
And then I'll go to Denver. Go ahead.
Okay, why is it that we don't do a thing about North Korea then? I mean, it seems like we're taking the exact opposite on that, and that irritates me because they're, to me, even a larger threat.
No, it's the same thing I said before. If we were going into Pakistan, you would say, why aren't we going into Iraq? Donahue gets this big smile ear to ear when he brings up North Korea. Now, why would he be filled with glee, and I'm asking about him, to get at you and your motivation and your concern? Why is he filled with glee that a tyrannical terrorist, you know, communist regime is building nuclear weapons again? Why would that fill him with glee?
Because he can get George Bush that way. But that's not my goal.
Only
being from a communist country.
No, because it helps to equivocate, to confuse the public. If there are evil people in the world, you don't have an obligation to address all of them equally at every moment. You could set your sights, set your focus, deal with the problem, then consider the next problem, deal with that problem. There's no obligation to do everything at the same time. And just that, you might say, hey, we need to destroy Saddam Hussein, his government, because they're state-sponsored terrorists, and we need to figure out how to bring down communist governments around the world, and especially stop the North Koreans. And that's valid, but not to use North Korea as an excuse to equivocate. That's not valid.
I really do believe we should do something with North Korea. I think we're almost running scared of them. I don't mean that we're afraid of them, but I don't think we know how to handle the situation.
I think you're exactly right. I don't think George Bush knows how to handle it. But he got a little bit more masculinity pumped into him in Afghanistan. So that helped a little bit. And he realized our military is competent, and we could use force to punish the wicked. And so now we should do it again in Iraq and destroy that country. Every time when there are countries that sponsor terrorism, every time we deal one of those countries the death penalty in that we destroy the government that sponsors terrorism, there are not too many countries like that in the world. So just a handful of them, and the others will chicken out. They'll be deterred. But not if we have millions of Americans who say, well, we don't have enough reason. They sponsor terrorism, but they might be mad at us if we do anything. It's gross, Brian.
I know. You like to drive the point hard home.
All right. Hey, thank you for calling.
Yeah.
God bless you. I appreciate your call. All right. Let's go to Denver, Colorado. David, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob.
Howdy.
I've got what might be a crazy idea. I've never heard anyone connect these issues like this, so I just want to throw it out there for your consideration.
All right.
Regarding abortion and immigration.
Yeah.
I've seen, it seems to me that the elite, intellectual, academic, privileged, white left is ultimately culturally suicidal, as reflected in the realities that result from their philosophies.
Okay.
Tell me if you buy this.
Well,
on the one hand,
there's public school teachers listening, so you got to simplify The words you're using a little bit. You're saying they want to destroy our culture because of their self-hatred. Like
ultimately,
Donahue hates white males, right?
Ultimately, yeah.
Okay, so then go ahead.
In the last almost 40 years, I've seen varying numbers regarding both issues, but they're both roughly the same. Approximately 40 million have died by approaching 40 million have died by abortion.
Yeah.
In approximately the same period of time, a absolute flood of legal and massive illegal immigration has totaled roughly the same numbers over the same time period.
Yeah.
Now, from the government perspective, the government approves of both.
Right.
So ultimately, I think from a government perspective, they almost don't even care, I would think. They want to fill the cogs in the machine. But the left's policies, ultimately, like I said, predominantly this elite intellectual academic white,
right.
Their philosophies, consciously or unconsciously, intentionally or unintentionally,
mm-hmm.
their policy is literally kill us. We will kill ourselves and replace ourselves with foreigners with little or no knowledge, or it's just generalization. I know there are a great many exceptions, but with little or no knowledge or real interest or certainly any loyalty to this country.
All right. Well, the abortion is murder, and so that's wrong. The second, immigration, I have a different take on it apparently than you. I think the problem we have with immigration is a welfare state. And if you get rid of a welfare state, then the people who come here have to work, and then they're welcome to come here. So I don't see any
I don't disagree with that at all.
All right.
Rather
than fight against, say, Mexicans, let's fight against Republicans who advocate extending the welfare
system.
I'm
not disagreeing with you. I
Good.
Understand the vast majority of the people who come here only come here for opportunity, to work hard, to improve their lives. That's mostly true. Encourages the worst.
Then when they get here, our welfare system, though, seduces millions of them into dependence on handouts. And so we ruin the hopes that they come here with. We help to enslave and to destroy them.
The net effect of these policies advocated by the left ultimately are replace Americans. That's by default. That's what they're doing.
Well, I don't know with that. I agree.
That's extreme, and that's
projecting. I agree that liberals experience self-hatred. They hate Americans.
Their greatest enemy is white male.
Leading liberals are virtually all wealthy, and they hate wealth. They hate Americans. The white male liberals hate white males. The Europeans hate Europeans. So I agree with those things. Now, I wonder if I should, somebody motioned to me that I should talk about these pamphlets, these anti-male missiles during the show, instead of on the internet-only breaks. Maybe I'll do that in the last segment. Because I decided to put this coming out of the closet anti-junk mail missile in this no postage necessary envelope and ship it off. But, maybe I could put a few others in there, like Nicer Than God. That's a funny article. Judge Rightly is not some guy's name. Now, a couple of these are really only relevant to Christians. This Miracle Dynamics. What a pamphlet this is. We actually hesitated to produce this pamphlet, Miracle Dynamics. This comes out of the plot. And, it's just a little pamphlet. It's just one sheet of paper, two-sided, trifold. Miracle Dynamics. It has a graph on the front cover of the pamphlet. It has a graph that says the distribution of miracles in the Bible, the number of miracles per section in the Bible. And it has the law, which is the first five books of Moses, the prophets, the writings. Those are the three sections of the Old Testament. And then in the New Testament, the Gospels, Acts, and the epistles. And when you look at the distribution of the miracles, it's really, it's interesting. It's just flat out, flat interesting what you could learn just from looking at that chart. And then you read the text. So anyway, I think I'll talk about these pamphlets on the show. Well, maybe. We'll see. But you might want to order an article pack from us. How much is an article pack? It's $5. And you get about a dozen, you know, we don't have a dozen different articles, but you get two or three of different titles in that pack. And, or you could get the bulk article pack, which is 200. Is the bulk article pack 200 articles, 200 pamphlets? For how much money? What does it cost? $25 for 200. And then you could be ready with your anti-junk mail missiles. All right, so to conclude the conversation I had with David, David's gone, excellent caller from Denver, but I agree that liberals experience self-hatred. They hate themselves. You know, Jesus said that the two most important commands are love God with all your heart, soul, mind, body, strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And if you hate yourself, if you really despise yourself, you're not going to be able to love your neighbor. And so when liberals act like they love minorities, well, remember, they hate Americans, the liberal leaders, the spokesmen, the advocates, the activists. They're self-hating, you know, whites of, you know, European descent for the most part, Americans. They hate themselves, and if you hate yourself, you can't exactly love your neighbor. And so what, they love minorities? What do they do to minorities? They destroy their lives with welfare and child sex advocates that they are, advocating that kids in public schools have sex with impunity, with no consequences, not even being told it's wrong. And they advocate abortion and just all destructive things for minorities. And are they helping the minorities? No, they're destroying them. Minorities, they just suffer unspeakably at the hands of liberals and the Democratic Party. And the Republicans, well, they wouldn't quite do it the same way, but they don't care enough to warn people. So they just have their, they don't say welfare destroys people. They just say, well, we have a better way to grow the welfare program. We just want to grow it our way. We want to increase welfare spending in our own way, not the way of the Democrats. So, hey, our phone number, 1-800-8-NYARDS, 1-800-836-9278. Here's an email about today's show. Communists understand the concept of power and mutually assured destruction. On the other hand, Islamic terrorists that Saddam is involved with do not hesitate to give their own lives to take the lives of innocent civilians. That's why they are more dangerous. Well, that's a good point. All right, let's see. Hey, our phone number here, 1-800-836-9278. Here's an instant message. Found it. Mel Gibson is a traditionalist Catholic. Now, that's accurate. From the stained glass logo of his Icon production company. Ooh, Icon. That's not good, right? The iconoclast, those who destroyed the icons, at least figuratively speaking. Icons, when God says don't make an image and don't worship it. We shouldn't kneel down before images and pray to them. And so sometimes a lot of Catholics have a particular problem with that, with kissing the feet of statues and praying before statues. And some, even though many Catholics will say you're not supposed to worship statues or saints, many millions do exactly that. So that is a problem. All right, let's go to the phones. And who's that? Is that Lou? In South Bend, Indiana, Lou, speak your mind.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Doing well, sir.
I love the show.
Thank you.
I just wanted to ask you about that caller from Cleveland. He was a little wishy-washy about his attacks on, or fighting back the terrorist attacks.
Yeah.
I was wondering how you defined terrorism.
All right. Well, terrorism, in a way, it's an unfortunate term that it's so popular because we really should be talking about murder.
Right.
And murder, when you intentionally target and murder the innocent, then you're a murderer. When you talk about terrorism, it could complicate and confuse matters. But terrorists, for purpose of, common usage, people who will target the innocent to kill them in order to bring about their own political agenda.
Okay. Now,
so they're murderers.
Well, essentially, during war, it would be an attack against a non-military target.
Okay. During war, now, with the advent of precision weapons, we can fight wars in ways that we find more humane. But during war, two nations are against one another.
Okay.
And it's not immoral to fight battles and kill civilians in the opposing country, in the enemy country, if that country is in the wrong. If you're in the right and your country is attacked, like when Japan attacked us,
right,
then we are at war with the nation of Japan, and it's not immoral when during our retribution if we kill civilians. That's not immoral. But we're thankful that we are able, out of humanitarian concerns, we're able increasingly to target just the combatants and destroy their infrastructure, their weapons, and their soldiers. So to the extent we could do that and not lose an inordinate number of our own soldiers, then I'm all for that.
Okay.
But if we ever got in a situation where we'd have to use nuclear weapons against the country, I hope that would never happen. But if it had to happen and we bombed, say, Moscow or Beijing, then so be it.
Mm-hmm.
So did I follow where you were going?
Yeah, because, over in Nagasaki and Hiroshima, there was a lot of women and children got killed with that. And I could imagine how terrorized those people were. And if they were like you, we all know, and all the people in Iraq who suffer under the regime of Saddam Hussein,
mm-hmm.
The Emperor of Japan may have had 20 million sufferers over there, but of course the times were a lot different back then.
Mm-hmm. And, there are arguments. People who the Blame America First crowd will reject any argument in defense of anything America does. But
right.
There are arguments that if we didn't have nuclear weapons then, rather than killing, 40, 50,000 people with a bomb, hundreds of thousands would have died, Japanese, if we had to invade the mainland and do an assault on Tokyo. So
right.
If not, well over a million Japanese would have died. So
mm-hmm.
Even in what we did, could if that's accurate, if what I just said is accurate,
mm-hmm.
then dropping those nuclear weapons on Japan is merciful because
right.
It brought the war to a swift end and maybe
yes.
Saved a million lives.
Yes, and a bunch of money.
and a lot of money, which leads to, if you spend money needlessly, it leads to death.
Right.
And so if a country attacks us, I'd rather we win the victory spending $1 billion than $1 trillion.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only qualms I have about it is I have some boys that are at that age, and if it gets out of hand.
Well, how could it get out of hand?
I think that Bush Sr. had the chance to finish the job, and I wish he would have in the early 90s at Desert Storm.
Well, right. Completely. He blew it completely, utterly. But let's look at Afghanistan and look at the Gulf War, Desert Storm 10 years ago. Afghanistan was almost the equivalent of a military exercise for us.
Oh, yeah.
And we destroyed a government.
Mm-hmm.
And the Islamic extremists, they lost a country. They lost the government.
Right.
And even in the Gulf War 10 years ago, our weapons were antiquated then compared to what they are today. Antiquated back then. They've improved so much in a decade. And even that was almost a casualty-free war for us. We had almost no casualties.
Right.
We had 500,000 people there.
Right.
And
the casualties we had were mostly accidents from our side.
Well, yeah. And if we wouldn't have been at war and 500,000 U.S. troops on leave getting drunk on the weekends, you'll have 100 people killed in a year.
Oh, yeah.
So it was virtually a casualty-free war. Our financial prowess and our technical ability is so extraordinary. We are so far beyond the rest of the world that a military conflict with these nations, I can't see how it could get out of hand. Now, if we went to war with China and they blew up a couple nukes in California,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that could be pretty serious.
Oh, yeah. That could be very, very serious.
Right.
But,
right. And
my concern is if we get the guy cornered, then.
If Saddam Hussein had nukes, then, you know, then you're compelled to act, and
the stakes
go much higher.
Right.
But not doing this now, and that's what people like Brian have to realize. Not destroying Saddam Hussein's government means that him and whoever he leaves in charge, they're going to be trying to get weapons to bring vengeance on America. And you have to destroy them so utterly, humiliate them so completely that they become like the Germans became, or the Italians, or the Japanese after World War II. That they realize it wasn't worth it to be the aggressors. That's how God says you deal with criminals.
Well, thanks, Bob. I appreciate it. I agree with you on that terrorism definition, and love the show.
Well, thank you, Lou. I really appreciate your call. God bless you.
Good work. Take it easy.
Appreciate that. God bless you. And, hey, Dean, we're about out of time. You want to say something about abortion?
Yeah.
Could you do it fast?
Our country has 40 million abortions every year. And that's terrorism against our population.
We have over 1 million abortions every year in this country.
Well, I mean 40 million altogether.
Since 1973. You're right.
Yeah.
That's murder.
Yeah, we're a terrorist state.
Of our own children. You're right. That's a good point.
So should we attack Iraq?
Yeah, we should, because even evil fathers have a right to defend their children. Hey, we're out of time. This is Bob Enyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.